Good morning and welcome for everybody that's watching us online, or maybe you listen to one of the CDs that we've put out. I just want to say a huge thank you to everybody that showed up to our drive-in service last Sunday. What a great, great day it was to be back in contact with people. Even though we were separated by some windshields, it was still a lot of fun. Looking forward to doing that again. We're back inside this week for today. Online worship, but that's going to change. Next week, we're going back outside. We're going to do a drive-in service again at Raleighville Recreation Center. We're going to do things a little different. We're going to back that up. Because of the temperature that it got last week, and I know that the season going into the summer is going to get a little bit more warmer, we're going to take and start church service at 10 o'clock. So at 10 o'clock next week, June the 21st, we'll be back up at the Recreation Center for another drive-in service. Also, I've got to apologize because I know that we didn't have an online service this past week. I've got to admit, it's my fault. We had a little bit of technical difficulties and was not able to get that uploaded. And so what we've done is we're actually going to record the service pre-Sunday, and it will be uploaded for Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So we're still going to have our 11 o'clock online worship service, but we're also having a 10 o'clock drive-in service every single Sunday. So looking forward to it. Let's jump right into the service this week. You know, last week I spoke about how we need to be an encourager. I titled last week's sermon, if you was there at the drive-in service, I titled it, Be a Barnabas. And I challenged everyone to go in and look through the book of Acts and check out Barnabas. Check out who he was, his character, and how he encouraged wherever he went. And then I wanted to challenge us to be an encourager in our jobs, in our marriages, no matter where we're at, in our families, with our siblings, our friends. And as I dipped into about the last quarter of that message last week, I talked about us being a church, and the church being an encouragement. This morning, I want to talk a little bit more about the church, and more about, I'd say, the community of the church, or the fellowship of the church. You see, over the last 3 months, we've been out of touch with each other. We've been isolated. We haven't been meeting together, and I want to take a look at how important it is for us as a church to be in fellowship, to be in communication, for us to be one with each other. I've titled today's message, Created for Fellowship. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I've thanked you every single day with the service that we had this past Sunday, the drive-in service with everybody that we got to see, the laughter, the waving of hands, the blowing of the horns. Lord, what an encouragement that was to me, and I thank you for that. I thank you for that fellowship that we had, and I look forward to that fellowship that we're going to have again next week. Lord, I pray for this service. I pray that your will be done in this service. Give me the words that you'll have me speak. And at the same time, always, dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to open the hearts, the ears, and the eyes of every individual that is listening and have the Holy Spirit work in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Not too long ago, there was a study that was done by Harvard University that tracked 7,000 people for 9 years. They found that most isolated people were 3 times more likely to die than most relationally connected person. And in that same study, they discovered that people who had bad health habits, smoking, poor eating, obesity, alcohol use, so on, but if they same people had strong relationships, they lived significantly longer than people who had great health habits but were isolated. Pretty interesting, huh? Here's what that study told me. It's better to eat Twinkies with good friends than it is to eat broccoli all alone. That's what I took away from that thing. Another study. It took 276 volunteers and infected them with a virus that produces the common cold. In this study, they found that the people who had a deeper emotional connections, deeper relationships, did four times better fighting off the illness than those who were more isolated. Those who had deeper relationships were better able to fight off the cold than people that were relationally unconnected. Here's what I took away from that. Unfriendly people are snottier than friendly people. Plain and simple. Now that's not probably how they meant that to be, but that's my interpretation. Now I believe that studies like this simply confirm a biological level what the Scriptures has already told us a long, long, long time ago. You and I were created for fellowship. We were made, we were created for relationships. We were made for connections. We were made to make connections. You were designed by God to love and be loved, to know and to be known, to serve and to be served, to celebrate and be celebrated. And to miss out on this, to misunderstand this, to not get this, is missing out on one of the major reasons that you were created. Think about it. Whatever you achieve in this life, whatever you accomplish, however many toys you accumulate, whatever stuff you get, doesn't matter. Because if you miss out on this, then you miss out on one of the major reasons for living. Here's the point I want to make this morning. I personally believe that the church is the only hope for this world. Pretty powerful, huh? I'm going to say it again. I personally believe that the church, I'm not talking about these four walls, I'm talking about the body, I'm talking about the people. The church is the only hope for this world. As a believer, everything starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. You got to have that first. But moving forward, we come to a need where we have to be a part of a community of believers in Jesus Christ. Very important. Our faith, even in times of searching, it's what brings us together. If it weren't for Jesus, we wouldn't meet together as a body of Christ. We wouldn't have a drive-in service. We wouldn't meet online. Pandemic's over, we wouldn't meet in church. We meet because of the body of Christ, because of what He has done for us. Most of us wouldn't have the friendships that we have. We wouldn't have the relationships that we have if it wasn't for the body of Christ. I want to read you something this morning. It's one of the greatest scriptures which shows the community and the fellowship at its best. It comes from a form of the early church. It's found in the book of Acts. If you've got your Bibles with you, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn to Acts. It's a scripture that we know. I've probably even preached on it in past, but we're going to take a look at it again this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. Let me read this. They devoted themselves to the apostles, talking about the church here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with the awe of the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. I've got that underlined in my Bible. They got everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who needed. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is a picture of the early church and how they fellowship, how they came together. Now, I know that our world is different than that scripture. I know that our world's different than theirs. But we can learn something from the way that they fellowshipped, from the way that they did church, if you will. Because get this, nobody in that scripture was complaining about what songs were being sung. Nobody was complaining that the music was too loud, or the train was too loud, or maybe it wasn't loud enough. They weren't complaining about the music being too contemporary or maybe too traditional. None of that was going on. I don't think that any of them were overly concerned about what anybody was wearing to church that day, what pew they sat on, if they got their pew back, or if someone sat in their seat. No, they were thrilled that you were a believer and you were on their side, that you were a brother and a sister in Christ. In other words, they weren't caught up in religion. They were caught up in a relationship. They were caught up in a relationship with Jesus Christ, but they were also caught up in a relationship among the believers. They were awestruck at the miracles which were being performed. They were together, and not just in worship. You noticed in the scripture it talked about them, they were eating together at their homes, right? They were together in their beliefs. They were together in their possessions. They were concerned about, or they weren't, excuse me, they weren't concerned about who had what. They were only concerned about what they could give to each other, make sure that everybody was taken care of. And they worshiped, and they praised, and they served God, so much so that other people began to believe in Jesus Christ because of the love that they were showing and through the grace that they were giving. Did you catch that? Huh. People outside of the church began to believe simply because of how the church was treating them. Why? Because they were establishing relationships. And I believe that the modern churches today, just like ours, can move in a direction which seeks to emulate that attitude of that early church. People outside of the church, you know what? They've got a hard time understanding and grasping church. They have a hard time grasping and understanding why we do what we do. And if you think about it, the Bible even tells us the church as a whole, it's a mystery. And it's only with the help of the Holy Spirit that we can really begin to take church outside of four walls. Church outside of four walls. We were doing that last week. We did that at a drive-in service at a recreation park, but it doesn't stop there. Take church to everyone you come in contact with. Take church to your family, to your friends, to your co-workers. You see, God wants us to know and understand and to believe in what the church is and what it's called to be. The problem, though, too often we have false ideas of the church. Famous author and pastor Tom Nelson, he identified four distorted images that we have of the church. Talking about believers here. Let me read them to you. Here, first one. Here's the view of the church as a gas station. He says this. He said, "For some people, the church is a place where you fill up your spiritual gas tank when you're running low. You get your sermon, and it will keep you going for the next week." Second thing, he says, here's the view of a church as a movie theater. For many people, the church is a place that offers entertainment. Go for an hour to escape, hopefully in comfortable seats. Leave your problems at the door, and then come out smiling and feeling better than when you went in. Number three, the church is compared to as a drugstore. Some people have the outlook that the church is a place where you can fill your prescription that will deal with your pain. For many, the church is therapeutic. The church speaks to your emotional pain and it brings healing. And number four, the view of a church as a big box retail store. This is where people see the church as the place that offers the best products in a clean and safe environment for you and your family. The church offers great service at a low price. And it's all in a one-stop shop. The church is to produce programs for children and teens and take the parents' responsibility to teach their children how to be believers in Christ. Now listen to me. You're not going to find any of those views, any of those pictures in God's Word. All of those are distortions. And they all have one thing in common. You know what that is? It's all about me. It's all about me. Fill me up. Entertain me. Take away my pain. Give me family programs. That's the false ideas of what church is. And our society has led us to believe that everything revolves around us. And it doesn't. Everything doesn't revolve around us. We're called together as a church to help each other. We're called together as a church to serve God and serve others. We're called together to worship God. We're called together to be in fellowship with one another. I believe it's very, very important for us to move away from a self-centered way of thinking when it comes to our church, and then start looking at what God's purpose is for the church. You see, we need to understand that Christ is the head of the church. No matter what, Christ is the head, and we're just the body. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, he wrote this starting in verse 18. You don't need to turn there. Let me read it for you. He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glory, inheritance in His holy people," talking about us, church, "and His incomparable great power for us who believe that power is the same as the mighty strength that He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way." Now, I got to tell you something. That scripture right there, it gives me goosebumps. That's some powerful stuff right there. I could spend a month of Sundays preaching on just that alone, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to try to break that down in about 2 minutes. You see, Paul wants us to understand something. He wants us to understand what the church is and what it needs to be. He wants us to open our hearts to the reality of the benefits of the church. It's not just important to eat Twinkies with our friends. Paul wants the hope of Jesus Christ to burn brightly and be illuminated in our hearts and in our soul. He wants us to grasp the glorious inheritance that God has given us. Now, you may not have any earthly inheritance from some long-lost rich uncle, but God's got an inheritance for you that's going to beat anything that you can find on this earth. I guarantee it. Paul told us so. And he goes on. Paul goes on to talk about something else. Paul goes on to talk about power. Now I need to stop here. I want to make sure I got everybody's attentions. I want to make sure everybody's listening, because I'm getting ready to say something to you that's going to blow you out of your seat. It should. You ready for it? Let me read verse 19 and 20 again. I'm going to read a little slower. Pay close attention. And remember here, Paul's talking about the church. Okay? Verse 19. And His incomparable great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength that He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly realms. Do you know what that means? The power that God gives us, the power that God gives His church, is the exact same power that He used to raise Christ from the dead. And it's the exact same power that He used to bring Christ to heaven to sit beside Him. Did you get that? Does that not blow your mind? Do you realize that the power the church really has? As a church, as body of believers, we have an indescribable power through Jesus Christ. Jesus, again, church is the only hope for this world. Because look at the power that Jesus Christ, look at the power that God has given His church to work through Him. We, His church, we've got the power, the same power that God rose His Son from the dead and then set Him at His right hand. We, you, this church, the body of Christ, has a power that nobody can describe. The church is us working together. But here's the kicker in it all. I just got done telling you about all that power. But here's the kicker in it all. We can't work alone. We have to work together. We can't say, you know, I really don't have a need for church. The church is everybody working together, doing the work of Jesus. There can't be lone rangers. There can't be naysayers. There can't be the pew sitters. The church is all of us. All of us opening our eyes at what Christ is calling us to do, to go into the world and make a difference. Make a difference and lead others to Christ and know Him more. And let Him transform our lives so we can become more and more and more Christ-like. That's the power that only the Holy Spirit can do. Paul explained that Christ is the head of the church and we're just the body, but there's power in it. You might be thinking, wow, you know what, Donnie, that sounds limiting. I mean, I'd rather do my own thing for Christ. Well, maybe you would. Maybe you'd rather do your own thing. But is that what Christ is calling you to do? You say, Donnie, I don't want to get tied up with the church. Right? Donnie, you know, we've been out of church for almost 3 months now, and I can watch it online. I hear you. I get it. But let me tell you something. Christ has chosen you to be a part of His church, not on the outside looking in. Remember what Paul said? There is power in His church. There is indescribable power in His church. There is no other power out there that compares to the power that God has given His church, and He wants you to be a part of it. That's powerful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Again, the same power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that we have as a church. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of it? You see, Jesus chooses to work through the church to bring redemption to the world. I'm going to say it again. Jesus chose to work through His church to bring redemption to this world. And that's why I believe church is the only hope for this world. Now it's our job as His church to step up and be involved in the most powerful institutions there is in this world. Not the White House, not your house, God's house. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, I thank You so much. Thank You so much that You have given us Your church. And we can have fellowship, that we can have connections, that we can have relationships, that we can grow, and that we can have the power, my goodness, that You have given us to do Your will. I pray that for this church. Help us, Lord. Guide us, direct us, and continue to push us in Your will, not ours, so that Your power is shown through us, that Your church is blessed, and that You are blessed by the church. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much for being with us again and tuning in to us this week. I look forward to next week at the drive-in and also again here at our online service. Thank you so much, and God bless.